Welcome back, listeners. I am so happy to have you here with me today. If you're new, welcome to the Psyche Behind the Physique. I'm your host, Maddie Michelson, IFBB Bikini Pro and founder of the Empowered Coaching Collective. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. I created this podcast earlier this summer as more of a passion project aimed at helping other women to find community, answers, and nuggets of wisdom as they explored the deep layers of mental hardship, self-sabotage, self-motivation, achievement, and growth underneath a physique that is perhaps idolized or admired. I know that as I've interviewed and made friends with some of the most athletic-looking individuals, I've come to know that what's on the outside rarely paints the whole picture. And behind a physique often lies a tremendous amount of gained wisdom, experience, and challenges that have had to have been overcome. So that brings us here to the Psyche Behind the Physique, where myself and so many other incredible women come together to share the lessons that we've learned along our journeys with you so that hopefully you can feel a little bit less alone and learn a thing or two. This week's episode is inspired by an experience I had a few months back that I've been wanting to share and speak on within this podcast for about 2 months now. But it wasn't until I actually witnessed too many occurrences or offenses, if you will, in which this valuable lesson that I learned had been violated or repeated by athletes of mine that I felt such urgency to share. So without further ado, here we go. A few months ago, I woke up one weekend and as I had been extremely early and ready to be what I would call productive. I genuinely had gotten into such a regime in which I would work myself like a horse each and every weekend, and the likelihood of me leaving my apartment or house and doing anything other than working became an extreme rarity. I began feeling like I needed one of those rarities. So on this particular Saturday a couple months ago, I chose to book a spa day for myself. But of course, you guys, only after 11 a.m. so I could get up at 5 and get at least 5 productive hours of work in on my Saturday. By work, by the way, I don't mean anything that I didn't really love doing or else I wouldn't do it. But I mean working on content or producing handouts and guides, revamping my website, all things that someone might argue I ought to have done, and all things that can be really easily justified as an entrepreneur. There's no one telling me what my deadlines are for myself or when I've overworked myself or not. So, as someone who's very driven, this can get me into trouble, and I recognize that. Nonetheless, I felt like I was doing enough since I made an appointment for a little self-care Sunday, and after all, I wasn't overcommitting myself to the entire Sunday at home like I had for 4 or 5 Sundays previously. Now, pause for the important detail here. Chris, the man of my literal dreams, who I'm living with and who I'm dating and 100% going to marry, asked me what my plans were on this Sunday and if I wanted to meet up with him and his best friend. And I actually said maybe, but in my head, my answer was already made up, and I decided I was going to be working as soon as I wrapped up at the spa. So, back to the story. On my way into the salon, I was informed by my car that my engine coolant was low and needed refueling immediately. I ignored the message, realizing that I needed to get to my spa appointment and I didn't want to be late. After all, who would be open on a Sunday, right? So, I had the week coming up. I figured I can go any point during the week. I remember being on the Gandy Bridge. And the Gandy Bridge is a bridge that connects St. Petersburg over into Tampa. And suddenly, this car in front of me was absolutely engulfed in flames. There was probably less than a football field of space in between me, the car, and the man running from it with his stainless steel coffee mug in his hand. Some cars made it past, and the cars behind me, as I looked in my rearview mirror, were stopping. There was one white sedan in front of me, and they were starting to slow down. And as they approached the flaming vehicle, presumably, I would assume to get a video of it at this point, I was just wanting to get past. it wasn't an option anymore to stop. So I laid on my horn as heavily as I could, and I prayed that the car in front of me and myself would make it past safely. I zoomed by going probably 130 miles an hour as metal flew and hit the top and the sides of my car. So I get past, I call my mom, and I wasn't even sure at this point if I could stay on the road. I was heavily breathing. I was sobbing. I felt like I was going to throw up. I was scared for my life. I didn't know if I should go back and check on the man, but I didn't even know if I could drive myself. So I shared with my mom the story about my engine fluid, and me being me, took it as a sign that I needed to go get that done. But truthfully, sort of only that, nothing more, right? My mom's intention at the time on the phone with me was to distract me. So she began asking me what my weekend was looking like and what I was going to do after the spa, to which I replied to her, "Well, I'm going to go home and draft my podcast notes for the next week." Truthfully, not having a single idea of what I wanted to write about. I remember feeling this weekend like the heaviest, worst case of writer's block I had ever had. I was in the biggest creative lull, and there was no way that I was going to be able to come up with anything that I really felt compelled to share until my mom stopped me. Before I went into my spa day, my mom stopped me and she asked me a question that I swear changed my entire energy from that day forward. My mom said, "Maddie, there's a reason you were forced to just stop today. You are flying like a torpedo that's lost sight of what you really want to do. And I share this with you because I'm not the only one who does this." And my mom paused and she asked me, "Maddie, what do you really want to do today?" And to her, I said, "Well, I want to go hang out with Chris." And as I said that, the knots in my stomach disappeared and I just broke down in tears again. But this time it was just this overwhelming feeling of relief. Fast forward 2 months later, and I had a similar but different interaction most recently with an athlete of mine that I've worked with now for about 6 months. Prior to us working together, we became close friends on Instagram, so I knew a little bit more context about her life and her day-to-day stressors that any old coach might not know. That's, worked with her for 4 or 6 months. I knew that she'd struggled in the past with binge eating. Proud to say that she had not had a single binge in 6 months. And I remember a time when she truly felt like there was never going to be light at the end of the tunnel for her. So, for a little bit of context, this particular athlete of mine, she's lost 40 plus pounds working with me, and she's absolutely transformed not only her physique, but her mindset. Nonetheless, just like me, a coach that works on these sort of topics with my own clients, we're human. And what humans do when we get overwhelmed and the world begins to tornado around us is we begin operating from a perspective of oughts instead of needs and wants. I received a message from her this last week and she was overwhelmed. She was overwhelmed from overextending herself to, I quote, "social obligations," and by her never-ending social calendar with no time left for her, amongst other things. But this was at the top of the list, and it led to an overindulgence. And I share this with you, my friends, to say nothing good happens to any of us when we can't land the dang plane. So today we're here, and we're discussing ought to do's, have to do's, and want to do's. How you can tell when there are warning signs that your plane hasn't landed and you're blindly operating out of a should-to-do state. And we're also going to discuss how you can flip yourself into a have-to-do or a want-to-do mentality. But before we get there, I think it's important that we first explore what the key differentiators are between these things. We have our ought-to-dos, okay? For me, in the context of my job, my ought to do's are working ahead on content, filming my podcast, editing and posting YouTube videos, and having conversations in my direct messages. For my client, her ought to do's are probably over half of her social obligations. For some of my other clients, this may be the decision to go into a prep because everyone else is in season on social media. Maybe we're like getting the prep itch, right? Or maybe it's a decision to go into a fat loss phase because, well, I mean, we've been at maintenance for too long, and isn't this what everybody does when they hit maintenance? Ought to do's are defined as something that is considered morally right or necessary to do, indicating a sense of obligation or duty to perform a specific action. It essentially means should do, just in a more formal way. Then we have our have to do's. For me, a have to do is paying my rent. A have to do is eating 3 meals a day. A have to do is checking in with my athletes on their respective check-in days. A have to do is getting ample amounts of sleep so my body recovers, and so that way I can be the best, most alert person at my job that I can possibly be. For my clients, have to do's if you're in a prep is keeping the diet whole food based. Have to do's if you're in a prep, your cardio sessions, your workouts, hydration. Have to do's is the laundry for your kids, packing lunches, providing them with transportation to and from places. Have to do's are defined as non-negotiable tasks, duties, or obligations that are necessary prerequisites to fulfilling a purpose or achievement unique to a given situation or person. All right. So then we have our want to do's. For me, a want to do was so clear on that specific Sunday. I wanted to go see Chris. I wanted socialization. I wanted human connection. What's ironic is that in the context of my athlete, what she probably wanted as she gave more power to her ought to do was time alone, in isolation, to simply relax and recharge batteries. A want to do is defined as something that you desire to do for your mental, physical, and/or emotional well-being, yet cannot be required of you. But terminology and definitions aside, we have to understand that when our world around us feels chaotic, or perhaps we begin to lose belief in ourselves, right? Whether it's to maintain healthy friendships, to be loved or liked, to excel in life, to gain notoriety or respect in a sport, or we begin to lose that steady stream of communication with ourselves, right? We call that our intuition. That usually never fails us. Our intuition will always guide us in a direction of success. But if we start to lose these things, we start to look to others. Maybe how others may have achieved success or reached their goals. And we start to essentially put words into the world around us. I ought to do X because if I don't, so-and-so friend group isn't going to see me the same and I'll no longer be accepted. What we fail to recognize here is our ought to's oftentimes directly violate our wants. And in many cases, even our have to's. So, what winds up happening? Well, we proceed with the ought to, thinking it's going to make us feel better. But since we're doing these things, generally speaking, for the validation from others instead of from within, we wind up rebelling down the road, whether it's in the form of binging, self-sabotaging, derailing, or now have less space and capacity for our have-tos because we chose the ought to. So we either do our have-tos rushed or we miss the mark altogether, right? Oh, well, I ought to go to this happy hour. So now your have-to going to the gym, I'll get to it another time, right? Conversely, when we face stress and the world feels like it is literally spinning around us and we can't slow it down, guess where we look? We look outwards. It's almost as if we can't even dial up our own conscious. So we shut her down. And in a panic, we seek answers in some sort of like grounding reprieve in the form of what's worked for someone else. I'm busy. I'm exhausted. Kids are sick all the time. I don't have time to get to the gym. I can't follow any sort of program. So I'm just going to go to the Ozempic route, right? It worked for Sam. But stop. Do you want to go the Ozempic route? Have you even explored that you might have to work on simple emotional regulation and maybe some parasympathetic nervous system recruiting activities first? And that alone might get your weight moving? Probably not. And I'm not blaming you, but what I'm trying to exemplify here is that when the ought-to framework takes root, your wants and your haves, they go out the window. So before we get to ways that you can stay in a want-to or have-to state of being, we've now explored why and how we get to the ought-to mindset to begin with. The world around us starts to spin, things get chaotic, or we start to get out of our own lane and we begin to fear our ability to be successful on a given path or in doing something, perhaps a different way than what others might be. And I want to explain to you why it's so important. Before we get to ways that you can stay in a want to or in a have to state of being, that we either operate out of a want to or have to state of being, over operating out of an ought to state of being. Both wants and haves, they're intrinsically motivated. The motivation behind a want is a desire for our benefit, even if it's not a necessity. The motivation behind a need is necessity, but for our benefit. Ought tos, on the other hand, those they're oftentimes manipulated by external forces. And this could be someone telling you that you should do something or trying to coerce you and you feeling obligated. Doesn't necessarily mean you're upset about doing it, but instead, just doing it because you feel like it's your duty to. This could also be brought about because you're starting to lose faith in yourself. And maybe you feel as though it's safer to take the same path that someone else did who got the same or similar goal as you. I want to emphasize that for that latter motivator, with the same or similar goal, this is very different from trying something for the first time personally that worked for someone else and excites you, such as maybe trying a new style of a workout like a Pilates class. What I'm referring to in this case comes from doing something the same way someone else did, usually when you know it won't likely work for you, or when you already have a plan in place, but you doubt that you can do this on your own. Or in a different way that it's been planned out for you to do. So, how do we stay in our lane, in our bubble, and in our place of want and need instead of operating out of an ought to state? Well, for starters, let's cover our needs. For context, if you're an athlete of mine, you've heard me talk about this, but I like to allude to the oxygen mask example. You always want to put your oxygen mask on for yourself before those around you. I'm sure you've heard this on an American Airlines or a Continental or a Delta flight, right? The same applies here. A lot of times, our needs are the things that we have to do for ourselves so that we can feel good enough to show up in the best way and in the best light for those around us that we love and care for. Your needs, those are your oxygen masks. What's important about needs is that if they are left unmet, we usually feel great stress or anxiety. For example, in order to feel good going into an upcoming week, you may need to go to the grocery store. You may need to get some food and get prepped for the week. But if you opt for an ought-to placing and you put more importance on that than your need, then you're going to find yourself going into the week unprepared and without, likely feeling more anxious and stressed, and perhaps wondering if you are ever going to succeed. If you're in a prep, you need to get your cardio in. You need to pack your meals and have them on hand, and you need to get your sleep. Sometimes we allow our shoulds to cause us more stress. Well, I should go socialize with friends. I should go to this event. And since I can bring my meals, I should be fine. But then you get home, you're doing your cardio late at night, you're exhausted, you're feeling FOMO for not being able to eat what your friends or family did. And all of this is because you put your oughts before your needs. The opposite can be true in a prep as well. And I do want to mention that. For example, you may feel like you need some socialization despite wanting to stick to your rigid schedule for cardio. This is okay too. I'm just trying to define what a need is in the context of both prep and life. So, what can you do? When you're feeling overwhelmed or feeling spread thin or perhaps struggling to discern what actions you should be taking, first ask if it's a need or not a need. These get done first, point blank, even above our wants. Two important things to note here, okay? Number one, your needs may differ and very likely will from those around you. That's okay. Number two, your needs might not always bring you joy. They might not always be fun. That's okay. Usually, needs don't provide immediate gratification or joy for that matter. And wants are going to be the thing to do this. Instead, needs usually provide more delayed gratification, right? This is something like a workout. Now, for wants, how do we stay in a place of want instead of in a place of should or ought to? Because this is a slippery slope. It's really, really easy to follow this one. Wants for me, though, are easy, particularly in the context of making a decision about our nourishment practices or indulgences, social outings, or as my client referenced, obligations, and even what we choose to commit ourselves to. If you're anything like me, you've probably said to yourself or a friend before, I'm not really sure what I want. But girl, that is so false. The reality is, we always know what we want. The key is to hang on to those feelings when they come. Usually, we're able to decipher if we want or don't want something as soon as we are presented with the thought or idea. When your coach promises a game plan to you for a prep, despite asking them when you could hit the stage, what is your immediate gut instinct? Is it excitement or is it sort of that dun dun dun, doomsday is here type of feeling? When you're asked to go out with that group of friends or you get invited out for a girls' weekend, are you so excited that you can't contain yourself or are you sort of stressed at the thought? These are the answers to your wants. And I think it's time for all of us to begin holding one another accountable for acting in accordance with our wants. And for a note on these, wants aren't concrete. The beautiful thing about wants, y'all, is that they can change. But if you don't act in alignment with your want, I can tell you this much based off of experience. If you believe it, the universe will find a way to reroute you since you don't trust yourself from the beginning, and you will experience resistance or you will be diverted on your path. If that doesn't happen, all right, you're going to find yourself doing a lackluster job, and you likely are not going to achieve the result that you set out to get in the capacity that you could have if you just waited until it became a want. Perhaps you're getting off the Stairmaster 5 minutes prematurely. Maybe you're sneaking bites and nibbles amidst your dieting phase, or you can't control yourself when your husband pulls out the buffalo dip on game day. Or in my case, you go to draft a podcast, and despite getting the work done to do it, the message isn't well received. I promise you, if you act in accordance with your want, and by this I mean your true want, what you think you want now, but maybe don't actually want, may actually become what you actually want down the line. But by acting in agreement with what you really want now, you're setting yourself up to be a much more self-loving, calm, cool, collected, and present individual. So why do I share all this with you? Why do I care that you begin acting from and making decisions from a place of want or from a place of need instead of ought to? Because we all deserve to live a life characterized by making decisions that feel good, that bring us joy, and that ultimately bring us closer to the person that we truly desire to be. If you're nearing a dieting phase, or what you think should be a dieting phase, ask yourself, do you want this? And make your decision to move forward on that initial instinct. If you're teetering with stepping on stage or not, ask yourself, do you want to compete? And if the immediate thought excites you from the inside out, do it. Get out of your head and out of your own way and collaborate with a coach that won't let you fail and that will be by your side for every step of the journey. If you're finding yourself spread far too thin, take inventory of your to-dos. How many of them are needs? How many of them are ought-tos? And how might you feel if you eliminated 75% of your ought-tos and replaced them with 75% of your needs that are being rushed through at the final hour or left unmet? Have you ever considered how your time spent in your wants, or even the small amount of time spent in your ought-tos, could be maximized if we first felt like the need boxes were checked? Ladies, 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 it has been real. I hope today's conversation has left you feeling positioned perfectly in your lane of want and need and has helped you to shift to a mindset and decision-making framework that is characterized by self-empowerment and alignment. If any of you are interested in exploring resources such as one-on-one coaching with myself or our amazing team of coaches, including our newest add to the roster, Alexis Otero. The link is down below to apply. You can also check me out on Instagram at Mads Michi Fitness. Listeners, friends, and beautiful people, it is such an honor having you guys tune in every other weekend as we share new episodes. We would love your help in choosing new topics to discuss with you all. So be sure to give our podcast a rating and leave a comment so we know how we can better serve you and our special little community. Stay tuned. I'm not too certain if there will be an episode in 2 weeks or not. I will be getting back from Europe, but hopefully there will be. I'm working on it. All right. Remember, guys, be kind to yourself and don't leave yourself out of the mix. This is Maddie with the Empowered Coaching Collective signing off. I'll see you in a couple weeks.